What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
Let's get into it. From Wikipedia, Flock Group, Inc., doing business as Flock Safety, is an American manufacturer and operator of security hardware and software, particularly automated license plate recognition, ALPR, video surveillance, and gunfire locator systems, and supporting software to integrate the data gathered by these technologies. Founded in 2017, Flock operates such systems under contract with law enforcement agencies, neighborhood associations, and private property owners. I slowed down there for a reason. As of 2025, Flock claims to operate in over 5,000 communities across 49 U.S. states and perform over 20 billion scans of vehicles in the U.S. Every month. Flock Safety Network of Cameras. Yeah, that's their company name. I was going to say, I want to put safety in it, but that is their name. Flock Safety Network of Cameras utilizing image recognition and machine learning can share data with police departments and can be integrated into predictive policing platforms like Palantir. It differs from its competitors in that it markets their services not just to law enforcement, but also to homeowner associations and similar community organizations as tools for, air quotes for those of you who can't see me on TV, homeowner associations for crime prevention. They claim that their systems aid criminal investigations. Howsomever, they are widely described by critics like me and other folks who we're going to holler at today as an example of mass surveillance and their efficacy and effects on privacy and other civil liberties are the subject of extensive public scrutiny, debate, and litigation. I like this Wikipedia writer. And they are either in or they are trying to come to a city near you. Joining us to discuss is Sarah Hamid, Director of Strategic Programming at Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF. Good morning, Sarah. Thank you so much for being here.
Of course. It's a pleasure to be here.
In preparing for this interview, Sarah, I looked up the definition of flock. And while not a perfect definition, I sort of see how some savvy comms person did this together, because we're not talking about a license plate reader, which we heard some of the opponents or proponents of the Oakland Flock proposal that we're going to hear again on November 18th saying, oh, no, it's just license plate readers. It's not just license plate readers, right? It's a grouping of surveillance systems to form a network. Did I get it right? Do I understand what's happening here?
Yeah, and I think it's kind of important to take a pause and tease out why that confusion is happening, because Flock is doing something really interesting in Oakland that is going to set the pace for police technology, for surveillance technology, and just the money that Oakland spends around its security products for a while now, if they're able to achieve this. What they've done together with this resolution is bundled a bunch of things. It's not just that now Oakland is going to foot the bill for the ALPR system that so far the state has been paying for and add that to the system, but also they're introducing two important things. The first is they're acquiring a set of PTZ cameras. PTZ cameras are one of the product lines that Flock offers that are just pan, tilt, zoom, and they are remote operationable. And then you can share that sharing relationship where, like, folks in other cities, law enforcement agencies, other cities, if they're given that access, can access those cameras and they can pan, tilt, zoom around all of Oakland. The next thing that they're adding to this is they're integrating a bunch of private cameras into a backend infrastructure that Flock is going to operate. And that means that people can, like landlords, business owners, folks in the business improvement district that already have surveillance networks, all of those feeds can now be integrated into this backend infrastructure called Flock OS. And the last thing, and the most important thing, is that they're introducing a waiver that makes it so that Flock is now going to be designated as a sole service provider for Oakland for these bundle of technologies. So it's setting itself up for multiple other technology procurements, because now all of a sudden, if this bundle passes, that Flock is uniquely positioned to service only because they have crafted this bundle. Other procurements like drones, which is a product that Flock has been really pushing for with this new Aerodrone product, those procurements get set up for Flock to capture as well. So this thing that we're that is being voted on the 18th isn't just about the surveillance technology infrastructure. It's about the relationship that Oakland wants to have with Flock for maybe the next two decades.
I want to pause real quick. I've got so much to ask you. I'm clocking time, but I do want to. I want to pause because I feel like I had a similar conversation, maybe not with you, but with someone from EFF about San Francisco and particularly the Ring cameras. And SFPD wanted access to those cameras. This was that I don't remember the year, but there were people that were in the streets, and I can't remember how that turned out. But my question is for folks, you know, that are listening, because people do. They've got Ring cameras on there. I don't, but people do. Will they have say so, and whether or not if the resolution in Oakland passes, and listen, Los Angeles or Berkeley or whoever else is listening, like you need to pay attention to this segment because they're coming everywhere. They are making a mass move across this country. So what's happening in Oakland could happen to you if it hasn't already happened. Let's say that I had a Ring camera outside of my home. Would I have say so about whether or not this network can access that data?
Yeah, absolutely. Insofar as there's voluntary consent. So you can choose to go in, you can choose to encrypt your Ring footage, you can choose to not opt into this system. So the way in which Flock as an organization, as a company, has been able to scale so quickly is in many ways is that it presents these like opt-in conditions. You get to choose whether or not to share with law enforcement. You get to ch law enforcement agencies get to choose whether or not they share with each other, right? And so it becomes very much on the user to make those decisions. And yet, we keep seeing Flock and have since the beginning of the year show up on our news feed over and over and over again because those opt-in conditions are not perfect. That system is totally leaky, and all of that footage is still going to a single point of failure, which is a private corporation, Flock Safety.
I mean, I'll just say, you know, for folks, so I'm not particularly technology savvy, and I'm also very busy, right? So I just be moving and clicking stuff or whatever, because I'm trying to get, say, I'm preparing for an interview with you, and I'm like, it's asking me questions about stuff. My daughter cussed me out last week. She was here because I was doing something, said something about cookies, and I clicked the wrong. But she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "What? They have the data anyway." And she had to break it down for me. So there's folks, A, you move, you're not reading, or you don't understand, right? And those are all loopholes when you have, I'm just like reinforcing what you said, Sarah. Those are all loopholes that when you have those things, right, make the insidious intentions of a company like Flock more able to grow and exist. This is sort of a repeat of what you just said, but I want to ask you a little bit deeper. There has been so much conversation about Flock as a uniquely bad actor in this field, right? Can you tell us why? And can you speak specifically, like people think about ICE, right? And unfortunately, we've got people that are confused and believe Trump when he says that immigrants are the problem in this country. Even if you were one of those confused, ill-willed people, can you explain why they too should be concerned about what is happening? Can you talk about access to gender-affirming care? Can you talk about why the reproductive justice community is concerned? Can you talk about, like, what controls do we lose when these kinds of things show up in our neighborhoods?
So the conversation around Flock oftentimes becomes conversations about individual surveillance devices and sensors and what kind of security processes are in place with these individual devices and sensors when city governments are talking about them, right? But what we need to be paying attention to as a public is how fast this startup is growing. And what happens when startups grow very, very quickly? They make mistakes. They oversell promises. They oversell on what their products can deliver on. And in that process, that allows them to capture more capital, to grow. That speed with which Flock is moving is really, really important to pay attention to because a lot of the things that are coming out in the news right now, in terms of ICE getting access to this data through things like screenshots or back-end favors that they're pulling with folks who have access to it, or because the network share system wasn't made clear to the law enforcement agency. So even though their city said that you're not allowed to share data outside of the city, they've been sharing with the folks 4 states away, right? That speed is what's allowing for all of us to be put at risk in the system. So part of my work for the past year at EFF has been to support local communities that are taking this system to task and like really analyzing it. And one of the things that's been fascinating for me as someone who's coming from a abolitionist background, working with systems impacted folks who are really concerned about policing and increasing the power of policing through technology, is that this is an issue that spans the entire political spectrum
This
because
is my
people are
point.
Yeah, people are realizing in places like Skamania, Washington, that now all of a sudden you've created a surveillance infrastructure that puts your Second Amendment rights at risk, right? People are realizing that in parts of the country where abortion is legal and these are abortion sanctuaries, the safety of folks that are coming to get gender-affirming care or abortion health care in those parts of the country, that's at risk. The literal sanctuary status of their city is at risk, right? And then let's talk about immigration. Right. Let's talk about the terror that's coming down on our communities and our undocumented community members, and the way in which this mass surveillance system has created that confusion and risk at scale. And it's created such a complex governance system that any city that has this system can no longer guarantee the safety of those community members, right?
You answered the question so much better than I answered it or asked it. And yeah, because what I was trying to get to, right, is that a lot of the times the left, I mean, the right does it too, but we talk in an echo chamber. We're talking to each other, right? And if we're going to win this conversation, which we absolutely must, we got to talk. We can't just be like, oh, you're not an abolitionist, you're evil. That's not helpful. We have to speak to people's humanity, right? And I don't think anybody, and so the way that I've been talking about it to anybody who will listen is like, do you want your child tracked from your house to school to her homegirls to the cafe to the thing? Like, is that what you, and most people, I don't care, Republican, Democrat, independent, most people, right? Like, most people at their core, when if they really understand what's coming down the pike, regardless of their idiot political leanings, can agree that mass surveillance never turned out good for anybody. Sarah, I one of the things that I learned, right, because I've got this amazing team at my other job, APTP, who be in the weeds, right? And then they're like, here, Kat, go say this. That's what's true. I always say I get to be the face. The team does the actual, work, and it's their brilliance that I get to represent. But I learned things, right? So Palantir came up as a company involved in all of this when we were doing this last round. We're trying to push back on the meeting that got canceled last week. Can you talk about the funders behind Flock, the private interests, the corporations? Who are the bad actors that have created this bad acting system that people should be aware of? And as you're going through your list, you can be like, Ken so-and-so, who also, makes drones that are being dropped on the heads of babies in Gaza. Like that. You don't gotta do it like Kat do it, but do it the way you do it. But call these people out. Who are we inviting into our city?
I think that's one way to do it. I think it's a powerful way to do it in terms of like who we're inviting into the city and who the funders are and who these interests are. But I think it's also really important to remember that Oakland and other parts of the country went through this already with Motorola, right? With Vigilant, which was an ALPR system that was sharing with ICE. And so focusing on Flock safety, although it's a very bad actor and Oakland's about to set itself up if it doesn't act decisively in this terrible relationship for years on end, Flock safety is a bad actor. But this system is continuously replicating and creating startups like ShotSpotter, startups like Flock Safety, right? These public safety startups that are supposed to be giving public safety solutions to our supposedly underfunded law enforcement agency that keep putting people at risk. Right. And I think it's really important to understand some of the dynamics that goes into that and stopping those dynamics as well as those specific actors like Palantir and the folks that have been in the news recently because of their problematic relationship with the political with the current administration. Right. One of those dynamics is that there are a lot of businesses that feel like they have to they can literally move their own security ledger over to public coffers by opting into the system, by backing, right, like this decision for OPD to get access to all of your feeds. Supposedly, right, this is going to make it so that you no longer have to care about the safety of your own workers and your building. You can just have OPD take care of it, right? That dynamic that you can offload that concern as a business owner has really incentivized some of the biggest businesses in Oakland to be proponents of this because it's expensive, right? Keeping your workers safe, keeping your buildings secure is expensive work. And it really reminds me of like, early moments in history of policing in this country where like basically there were these like telegraph machines with keys, right? And like rich white folks had access to those telegraph machines and they could call the police when they needed it, right? And this way in which these specific interests in the city are going to be leaning on OPD to do their work for them, there's an incentive built into that, right? And so making sure that that incentive structure is really interrogated. One of the amazing things that this campaign is doing is reaching out to business owners and like talking to them, right?
Right.
Really like doing that groundwork of being like, is this going to keep your workers safe? What are the liabilities here? Do you know where this data is going? Are there any like data, like laws and privacy laws that you're in violation of into opting into this? Do you know what you're doing by agreeing to this and backing this? I think that's been really, really important because this idea that we can disrupt policing and just introduce a smart startup every 5 years with a bunch of venture-backed funding in order to like create safety. It's been elusive. It's been 15 years. We've seen it fail over and over and over again. And we've seen folks get killed through this kind of like wild experimentation on our communities. So interrupting that dynamic is super important.
I love that framing. Sarah, I get asked that by journalists all the time. Well, when we talk to business owners, they say, duh, what do you say to them? And my response usually to them is like, I tell them, I say, they need to know they're being played. They're being lied to. They're being used as a pawn for a political agenda that actually has nothing to do with their safety, the safety of the workers, or the safety of the city. When you're talking to business owners and you give them this information, what is some of the response that you're hearing from them?
Many times, the framework for how they should understand it has already been given to them by Flock itself, who's done outreach to local vendors, who's done to local businesses, big businesses in cities, who's done outreach to homeowners associations trying to sell them a model of safety. And the response is really interesting because when you go in knowing that they have this framework and they have these talking points, and you start to slowly like ask them just questions, right? What about your community? What about your customers? Do you think they have data privacy concerns, right? Where's their data going? Do you have a like, and then start to slowly break that narrative. They also are realizing that they're getting played. It's not just business owners that are realizing this too. You're also seeing this with law enforcement agencies around the country.
Oh, really?
They're realizing that they're getting played too because they were told that Flock had a certain set of like safety features, and they told that they were not violating their own state's law, right, by entering into these networks and whatever it was that the vendor told them very, very quickly. These vendor reps are salespeople, right? They didn't even realize what they were doing in terms of just turning on a button and allowing people from four states away to access their city's data. So breaking that narrative that this vendor has gotten very good at crafting and just asking simple questions. People don't like being duped. It's very simple. People do not like being duped.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's not my work, but somebody should organize those law enforcement agencies into some really loud pushback on Flock. Again, not my work, but somebody talks to those people. Sarah, let's talk about data safety and where the data goes. Because the Oakland Police Department and their police union, excuse me, association, they're not a union because cops aren't labor. Police association is jumping up and down. We're going to protect the data. Don't worry, it's only going to be stored for this long. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. What are your concerns about that? Where have we already seen that be a problem? How do we know already that that's just not true?
One of the things people forget is that ALPRs have been around for like 50 years. This is a very, very old technology. And throughout that time, there have been many attempts to govern them, right? California's law, SB 34, is just one attempt. It's like 10 years old, where we said very simply, California's ALPR data should stay within California borders. That policy is still not universally enforced and adopted in all of California. You look at cities like Austin, which had one of the most restrictive data policies that I've ever seen. They had a 7-day retention rule. That policy failed. Over and over and over again, you're seeing these feature restrictions and these policy restrictions attempting to govern where this data goes fail. And the reason why you're seeing it fail is because, again, Flock is not just a sensor and device and hardware company, right? They've created a social network for sharing police data. There is a social layer that they are capitalizing off. This is what's allowing them to grow within their clients, within law enforcement agencies. They create the sense that we lift each boat, or whatever the colloquialism is, right? We support each other and we share. Right, we share information, and that's our power. The power's in the network, right? And that makes it so that there are all of these informal sharing mechanisms that are in place, right? So when your data gets uploaded into the ALPR system, right, when you pass by one of these cameras, right, so that data goes into Flock's cloud service. So it's already in a third-party vendor, and we've seen indications recently that maybe that isn't even safe, right? It's a third party. It is a private vendor that has to be responsible for the security of that data, right? But also then, because again, it's a sharing network, law enforcement agencies and private vendors enter into sharing relationships with each other. So it's not just your city's laws, it's other cities that have access to your city's data. And what are they going to do with that? Those cities have different policies. Those cities have different commitments. Those cities have different commitments to this current political administration and its commitments to mass deportation, right? What are they doing with that data? The next thing is you want to think about, like, not only is the data spreading in all of these informal ways, like folks have a desk at the fusion center, or they have multiple affiliations, or they just have access to your login to the Flock safety system, all of these informal ways of sharing. But also, like, what are the forms in which the data shows up? You query a database and it gives you a result, right? And in some cases, you can export that. Where does that go? That goes to an individual device. How long does that data sit there? We don't know. There's no way of knowing. Even more simply, someone can just screenshot it. That in and of itself, that data, when it goes into someone's phone, that is a violation of someone's privacy. That data, they have no way of guaranteeing will stay within California borders, will be deleted within 30 days, any of those restrictions, right? So all of these attempts to kind of placate the current window of conversation through, like, we're going to introduce new features to, like, make sure that this is safe. We're going to make sure that people don't do this with the data. I always bring them back to how many years of failed governance with this technology, and ultimately how dense, layered, convoluted, and fundamentally ungovernable the system has become.
Sarah Hammond, what have I not asked you that people desperately need to know and understand about this technology and about the package that the Public Safety Committee in Oakland will be voting on November 18th?
So we live in this time now where technology procurement decisions that city governments make and that the public makes through their city electeds are very political, right? Like, these are not just like, what's your printer? It's what's your printer, and can that printer turn me into somebody because I use that printer to print a flyer that has a speech that somebody might not like, right? These are very political decisions. And so folks in Oakland need to sit with this vendor and whether or not they want to be in business with this vendor for a very, very long time, not just for ALPR, not just for their CCTV product, but also for their drone product and any other product that Flock is promising down the line. And whether or not this stands with Oakland's values, right? And whether or not there's like a long-term risk of that relationship. That's what folks in Oakland need to understand, I feel like, and understand these procurement decisions. They're not just administrative decisions. It's not just pick a vendor, right? You're entering into relationships, long-term relationship with companies that have values, that have politics, that act on those politics, that act on those values. There are tech vendors in the world right now doing things like, I don't know, funding a ballroom for a certain president, right? Pay attention to who your city chooses to get in bed with.
A whole nother segment. There's a great Instagram reel that a brother did singing a song about why does BlackRock want to build a ballroom? It doesn't like this bluegrass. It's phenomenal. And actually, how I found out that military surveillance bomb making people are building a ballroom. And that Hitler did something similar. All right, Sarah, I got to move on. Thank you so much for coming on and being
Of
such a
course.
brilliant guest. Talk to you sooner.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.